Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, those wacky minor league baseball social media departments. They are just a barrel of laughs all the time.
This one got me. Got me good.
Yeah, I saw this too.
What's going on?
You know, I followed the Lake Elsinore Storm account for years. Padres single A affiliate, and yesterday afternoon they tweeted out a short video. It says January 15th seems to be a pretty important date for the biggest Padres fan in our office, and it's a video of a guy wearing kind of a brown and gold polo shirt, and one of his coworkers kind of rubbing him on the shoulder, saying one more week. Then he goes to this whiteboard that has like a Wordle, but it's a Stormdle, and it's six letters, and clearly it's leading toward the word Sasaki, and then they show him looking at the video of Roky Sasaki
the other
on his
guy,
laptop.
The guy that was rubbing his back is looking at pitching videos of Roky Sasaki.
Yes.
And then there's, it's Roki Sasaki, and they've got a couple of letters filled in, and you look at that and you infer that,
January 15th.
It's Roky Sasaki Day. That's the day that the international bonus pool money frees up, and you are able to then go out and has, you know, if he picks your team, you will have Roky Sasaki. But he won't be a member of the Lake Elsinore Storm, which is, I mean, I get, like, they're excited about him too, part of the organization, but it was brazen. I don't like to make a lot of big movements. You didn't hear me talking a lot of trash yesterday before the Notre Dame game, right? I wait till after the game. I've learned that. That's wisdom.
That's what's in.
You do it after. You run your mouth. You get brazen after you win. After you get them. Yes.
I think the thought was, do they know something that everybody else doesn't know? And my conclusion is no. I think this is simply
correct.
Simply hijinks and doing a bit and, you know, looking for some off-season content on a quiet social media account.
I think everybody asks,
months away
what do
from
they
games.
Know? Because we want them
nothing.
To know something.
Correct. They know nothing.
We don't want it to be the bragging before it happens type video.
It's why I really
bitten us in the ass time after time after time.
It's why I you know, last year was so vehement. Like, I don't want any raps. I don't want any, like, don't do any songs. Don't do any auto-tune songs for the Padres run. Don't make a promo that says that you've slayed the dragon when you actually haven't slayed the dragon. Don't do that yet. Don't air it. Don't air it.
You know how much A.J. Preller tells the social media department of the Lake Elsinore Storm? Possibly even less than he tells us, which doesn't even seem possible.
Which, that's not possible.
But there's no communication there. They are not in possession of any proprietary information or any inside scoop that they think, oh, we know something that you don't know.
Now,
this is simply fill in a little content with, you know, months away from baseball games being played.
It's funny. Over the last few years, I've learned about the I've learned about manifesting, right? And I've learned the power of the mind. And I've learned, and I, you know, something I'm very interested in. I've learned if I want something, I can get it, right? And put it out in the universe, right? I would like to reserve manifestation for things other than sports. Does that make sense? Like, it's fine to put, I think it's fair to tweet, man, I sure would love if Roki Sasaki joined the team. Fine. That's your wish. You want that to happen. But Roki Sasaki is going to be a Padre. I'm putting it out in the universe, and here's a rap to back it up. I don't think so.
I think the power of positive thinking has a place in everybody's life. You know? If you want something badly, envision yourself getting there. It will help you on the road.
It's helped me tremendously.
If you want Roki Sasaki to be a Padre, though, you envisioning it is not going to help at all.
No.
There's no power of positive thinking, as you said, that's going to help the San Diego Padres land Roki Sasaki from the fan base.
I do the power of positive thinking and manifestation in my life, like outside of sports. I do not do it. I go the other way. It's not going to happen. We're not going to win this game. There's no chance it happens. And then I'm pleasantly surprised when we did, just like last night. I said on the air yesterday, we're going to lose by 30. If, you know, now that we're in the championship game, whoever we play, they're going to beat us by 30. That's how I feel when it comes to sports. Life, different, completely different. I would like to go here. I would like, you guys know my long-term plan. I want to move to Paris someday and spend the summer there, traveling Europe. That's going to happen.
Picture it in your head.
I picture it every day. I'm going to start getting ducks in a row. I only want to do the whole family swap, right? Like, you come stay at our house in San Diego. We'll stay in your apartment in Paris as a family, and you have a great summer here. We'll have a great summer there. That's going to happen. I'm going to make that happen.
Are you going to bring the equipment?
No, I think I'll be retired at that point.
All right, just wondering.
It's 4 o'clock right now, so you'd be what, 3 to 7 p.m.
In Paris? Yeah. Maybe I will bring the.
Not
equipment.
The worst idea.
That's not the worst idea. That is not the worst idea.
So our
so I manifest things like that all the time. Yeah, but I'm not going to manifest Roki Sasaki and put it on the internet.
There's only one thing we can do when it comes to the pursuit of Roki Sasaki as a Padres fan base:
drink heavily
and wait
and wait.
And wait another 5 days.
Fans love to wait.
And it's probably, honestly, going to be another 7 or 8 days. I doubt. I mean, it's possible that we'll find out on the 15th, but it might be a few days after that.
Yeah.
To be truthful, our friend David Schoenfield of ESPN.com. I don't know if you guys saw this piece yesterday. I'm hoping you didn't.
I did not.
Because I want to see if you can guess it. So he ranked the worst mistake every Major League Baseball team has made since 2020.
Oh, that's good.
And he just picked one for each team. So I want you guys to try to guess. What do you think the worst mistake? And some of them are trades. Some of them are signings. Some of them are on-field decisions, you know, the manager made in a key situation, in a key game. What would you say is the...
So this is really broad.
It's very broad.
This isn't worst contract because...
Very broad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's not the worst contract. It's not the worst, transaction. It's just the worst mistake that he thinks each team made since 2020.
That's not going to hate her in 2022.
Oh, that's not a bad one.
Good one.
Not a bad call. That's a really good one. He didn't bring that one up, but Paulie, I love that call.
That's a great call.
My immediate reaction.
Xander Bogaerts contract. Yeah.
He mentions the the long term contracts, including Xander Bogaerts, and says, those will sort themselves out at some point. But it seems a little early to absolutely call those a huge mistake right now. So here's what he picked. He said starting Dylan Cease on short rest in Game 4 of the NLDS. And he said, maybe in the end it didn't matter. Padres got shut out in the final two games. But you knew that Dylan Cease had never started in his career on 3 days rest. Zero. And the postseason track record for pitchers on short rest isn't good. 4.24 ERA over the past 10 postseasons. Padres were ahead in the series. No reason to take an unconventional risk. Yes, manager Mike Schilt still had Darvish on regular rest to start Game 5. Didn't leave a great option for his fourth starter, but win Game 4, you don't need Game 5, lose, and you still have Cease to start Game 5.
In hindsight, I don't know that that's the most egregious thing that the team has ever done in the last...
I know. I mean, this is obviously very subjective and very
I would
matter
say
of opinion.
Shuffling the lineup would have made more sense.
Not shuffling the lineup is a bit
as, as the choice. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that over those last two games or whatever.
I mean, I was so bummed, man.
Scoring a run.
I mean, again, it was going to be Martin Perez, or you know, you could have gotten. You saw how creative the Dodgers got with one and a half starting pitchers that they had. We also had a really locked down bullpen. I mean, a really locked down bullpen.
You could have started Jason Adams.
You could have started Jason
Moore. And gone to Suarez in the fourth.
And Adrian Morejon. Like, you could have gotten creative. It's dicey.
The one thing, and we talked about it at the time, and I still, you know, you'll never know what would have happened. But had the Padres gone with a bullpen game or Martin Perez and lost game four, would you have started Dylan Cease or Yu Darvish in game five? I think you probably would have started Cease.
You probably would have started
Darvish
Cease.
Darvish was excellent.
He was phenomenal.
He was excellent.
Phenomenal. Gave up two solo shots.
And the thought that Yu Darvish may have not pitched again in that series also could have been a huge mistake.
Correct.
Had they gone that direction. So ultimately, you know, the blame for the Padres not beating the Dodgers goes on the offense disappearing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it goes on Mike Schilt. He was left with, you know, three not ideal options for game four. Martin Perez, bullpen day, or Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
He went with the one that had the biggest upside.
Yeah.
You know, his best pitcher, because I think he wanted Yu Darvish to pitch in game five at Dodger Stadium, where he had pitched so well and wanted to be there.
And that was the right call, because he pitched his ass off.
And had you lost game five with Martin, or game four with Martin Perez,
or a bullpen game,
and then went with Darvish, even if he pitched well and lost game five, you don't think that everyone would have been going, you didn't pitch Dylan Cease at all again in that series?
Yeah.
That would have been a hard thing to do.
Yeah, game four or five, as Steve says, wouldn't matter if the guys couldn't put runs on the board. He actually said points, but I didn't want to embarrass him, so I changed it to runs.
Would you like to know what the Dodgers' biggest mistake was? Not hardly much. Trading for Lance Lynn and then starting him with the season on the line in 2023.
What a life.
It's nice when that's in. And then the worst mistake by any team, his number one ranked mistake, he said, for the Angels, keeping Shohei Ohtani at the trade deadline.
No doubt.
In 2023 and not getting anything for him.
Nothing. What would that package?
Well, they did get a compensatory draft pick.
Yeah, it's a comp pick. It's staggering. Staggering. What would they have gotten for him?
I don't know. I mean, again,
probably not much.
It was a rental, but it would have been something. I mean, you know,
they still, it's better than nothing.
A package of top prospects.
But you could have, they should have traded him the year before that.
100%.
2 years. Like, right. They were going nowhere. They could have traded him with a year and a half, like, or 2.5 years, like when we got Soto. Like, that's not just a rental. And then you get a huge return.
Yeah, do you feel like if the Angels had faced reality in the middle of the Padres, you know, big spending push, that A.J. Preller would have done anything at that point to acquire Shohei Ohtani from the Angels?
I do too. Very, very much.
If he had been available in 2022,
that would have been the call.
And the Angels have gone, we know we're not going to be able to sign this guy, he would have packaged. The Soto package probably would have been the Ohtani package.
Correct.
You know, the Angels weren't making him available, obviously, but I can definitely see that alternate universe.
Yep.
In which Shohei Ohtani was a Padre for a couple of seasons there.
Had we had the DH, you know, he probably could have been here still.
Originally. Yes. Yeah. But AJ, I don't think, ever lost that dream of making Ohtani a Padre. But then when he became a free agent, you know, no matter what, I don't think the Padres are hitting $700 million for Shohei Ohtani.
No, sir. I agree with you.
All right. We've got Don't Do This is coming up next, Woods. And someone that was at the game last night that you probably thought didn't need to be at the game last night.
I thought this was a bit disappointing by ESPN. They need to nip this this Lee Corso situation in the bud before it gets dangerous, as it did last night.
Now, we got some birthday shout-outs as well coming up. First, I want to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. Right now, until the end of January, you can take advantage of their New Year's special. Get $200 off the program. I got a ton of compliments yesterday when we were out playing golf at Torrey Pines. Hey, Ben, you still look great. I have lost 40 pounds. Did it in 60 days, and I've kept the weight off for a year and a half thanks to the great strategies that I learned from SDFatLoss.com, my terrific counselor. They have a great team. They have a great app. Really made it easy for me not only to lose the weight, but to maintain, keep the weight off. For me, the difference was I didn't have to rely on shakes or bars or mixes. I was eating real food. So when the time came to kind of get back into my normal routine and just maintain the weight, it was so much easier. I mean, it's just been a life changer for me. I feel so much better, more energy. I sleep better. My pain, back pain, knee pain has gone down to almost nothing. I love it. I absolutely love it. If you want to feel the way that I did, all you have to do is set up a free consultation by going to stfatloss.com and find out how the program can work for you. No injections, no hormones, nothing extra to buy, just the program and a new you in the new year. So again, take advantage of their New Year special. Get $200 off now through January 31st by going to sdfatloss.com and setting up your free consultation at sdfatloss.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this on Fridays, brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
Yeah, I was watching the, I'll get it started, Benny. I was watching the pregame for the college football playoff game last night, and they went to the ESPN panel, and you got Herb Street, and you got McAfee, you got Desmond Howard, you got Nick Saban, the whole thing, and they got, of course, Lee Corso is out there. He is 89 years old, and you know, I don't want this to come off as ageist or anything like that, but Lee Corso, he's had some health struggles over the years. It's fine, man. Let the guy give his take, whatever. I don't know that it's the smartest thing to do to have him out there dancing with the Notre Dame leprechaun. He's dancing a jig. Having fun. Then he almost crashes out.
Falls
backwards. Kind of loses his balance a little bit.
Luckily, the leprechaun guy caught him.
The leprechaun, there it is. Leprechaun guy catches him, gets him back on his feet. I know that's his bit. He puts on the costume. He does the whole thing. Man, it made my heart hurt for a minute.
Do you know the history of Lee Corso here in San Diego?
No. I just saw something in the chat. What happened?
So this was long ago, 1992, when Marshall Faulk had his amazing freshman season for the Aztecs, including a 386-yard rushing game. Got a lot of attention, was thought of as potentially the Heisman Trophy winner. But Lee Corso, who was an ESPN analyst even back then, was the lead cheerleader for Gino Toretta.
The Miami quarterback.
Gino Toretta, they were getting ready to play Alabama in the Sugar Bowl for the national championship. Lee was all in on Gino Toretta, and didn't even have Marshall Faulk on his ballot.
Wow.
And kind of swayed, you know, they think, the voting nationally. Now, Toretta, as they said, looked like a junior high quarterback against Alabama in that game. Had a horrible game. Marshall Faulk ended up finishing second in the Heisman voting to Gino Toretta in what a lot of people think was maybe the biggest snub in Heisman Trophy history.
Now, I can get behind that.
I was reading this piece, though, from years ago in New Orleans on Marshall Faulk, and it said something Faulk never forgot. He said, though, not winning the Heisman was probably the best thing that happened to me. Gave me that extra drive, the drive that got me through college when people didn't think I could play running back. You know, he was recruited mostly as a defensive back, and the Aztecs were the only team that thought he could be a running back.
Yeah.
And he was not even on the starting squad, but the starter got hurt. They put him in the first game, 386 rushing yards. Still a freshman record.
Good God.
Says that motivation, though, got me through the NFL when people questioned whether I was going to be a good player because I didn't win the Heisman. It fueled the fire throughout my whole career. So you can blame Lee Corso
or you can credit him.
Lee Corso for Marshall Faulk's career.
Sean makes a really good point here. He said Lee also cost Notre Dame the championship in 1993. He voted for Florida State, who Notre Dame beat that year in the game of the century. I'll never forget it. Notre Dame lost on that last-second field goal to Boston College, and Corso went with Florida State, who, in fact, had lost to Notre Dame. Notre Dame finished second, so yeah.
Ugly story here involving Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Jermaine Burton. Of course, their season is over, but this happened back on December 30th, and the news just coming out now as reported, ESPN obtaining the police report. Burton allegedly broke into the home of a woman he was seeing hours after the two had been out drinking at 1 a.m., according to an emergency call made to Cincinnati police at 8 a.m. The 19-year-old woman told police that Burton choked her in the hallway of her apartment complex. She also said Burton broke into her residence, grabbed a knife from her dishwasher, held it to his own neck, and threatened to kill himself.
Oh my God.
She told police that Burton then broke her phone and left. According to the police report, it's the second time that he's broken my phone in the past month. He broke my phone, hit me, and he left. The rookie did not travel with the team to the regular season finale against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was called a coach's decision at the time.
And it was the second time this season that he did not travel with the team because of some issues. He had a lot of issues in college, Ben. He started at Georgia, transferred to Alabama. He was caught on video striking a female fan who rushed the field. That was one of many things that he had gotten in trouble for in college. And then, you know, listen, it happens way more than we know. But Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, said, "Oh no, I asked many people about his character. We were confident in the culture we have here in Cincinnati to help turn him around, and we love the tape We got to know the person. We feel really good about the pick. So far, not so good for Jermaine Burton. One of those guys like, hey, man, you got to figure out what you want to be. You got to figure out what you want to be. It's a privilege, not a right to play in the NFL. You got to figure out what you want to be.
Yeah, not a good start to his NFL career.
Correct.
This season.
All right, this is a bit self-serving, but I have to do it anyway.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
Like to wish a very happy birthday to the head football coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. What a night for him last night. At midnight, he turned
28.
39 years old, man. 39 years
just
old.
Wow.
And this is after... You know, winning that game last night. How freaking cool is that?
You win for a good party.
You win the Orange Bowl, and then the clock strikes midnight, and you turn 39, and you've just led a team that lost in Northern Illinois to the championship, which is just baffling to me still. Still.
I heard, I was listening, of course, to
Maggie and Perloff
on the way in.
What did Perloff have to say?
It wasn't Perloff, actually. It was their guest. It was the guy from You Better You Bet that they have on Fridays. And he said... For some reason, it's just easier to follow a handsome guy, whether it's a coach or a quarterback.
or a radio host.
It's helpful. It's helpful to be handsome. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Marcus Freeman is undoubtedly like a handsome fellow, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, he's well-built.
Sharp,
looks like an actor.
Dude.
He looks, you know.
Yeah, he's got aura.
He looks like an actor.
He's got riz.
I mean, being young, you know, still 39 doesn't
hurt,
I'm
sure. The message hits differently if Steve Buscemi's up there accepting the Orange Bowl trophy.
Or Charlie Weiss is up there accepting the Orange Bowl trophy.
It's the same thing for quarterbacks. Like, you know, part of Joe Burrow, you know.
Yeah.
Good-looking
Josh
dude.
Josh Allen.
Helps, yeah.
Tom Brady.
Helps you lead. Tom Brady. There's another one.
All right. All right. Let's get into this.
Like, who's the ugliest, most successful quarterback?
Mean.
I'm not trying to be mean, but...
Bernie Kosar, but
okay, here's one, and I think he was, I know this is a little before my time, but he was always considered super handsome, like he was on the magazines and everything back in the day. Joe Namath,
yeah.
I never got it. I didn't think he was that handsome.
He had what the kids call big D energy.
All right.
When he walks out in the fur coat, I guarantee a Super Bowl win, yeah. Yeah, it's easier to, okay.
Is Broadway it, Joe, I don't know.
Is just, it? The question is it easier to follow somebody that's attractive? The answer is undoubtedly yes.
Of course.
It's undoubtedly yes. Undoubtedly.
You're right. This is mean. I can't. You don't want to. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say anything bad about coaches. Like, I thought he was a smart, really smart guy. But he wasn't that dynamic, and he certainly wasn't, you know, like.
Who?
Norv. You know, your guy, Norv.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, really smart guy, really smart coach. But I don't know if that was a leadership thing or what it was.
Purple says, so. I don't need to hear Wood say Riz ever again. Did I say Riz or did I say Aura? I think I said Aura.
You might have said Riz.
I think you might have.
I thought I said Aura.
Riz,
he's got Aura. He is. He's very dynamic. He's very dynamic. And happy birthday to you, Coach. Paulie, that's one of those, like, if you said... Hey, we've got Marcus Freeman. I don't want to be on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't. I'll let you guys do it. I don't know what I would say. Ben, I'm looking at your camera right now, and you're yellow. You have jaundice on your camera. What is that about? Like, extremely jaundiced.
How's that?
Better.
Ring light was a little too yellow, maybe.
I guess I said both. All right, I said Riz and Aura.
Speaking of birthday wishes, just quick.
Why can't I say Riz, by the way?
You can. You sound like you're trying too hard to be young.
Mm. All right.
Also, a happy birthday to one Sam Higgins, my younger brother.
Sammy!
Shares a birthday, Sammy. Apparently, with Marcus Freeman.
Oh, I love
birthday.
That.
January 10th.
Couple of legends.
Happy birthday to Sammy. Hope you have a good one.
Sammy, we love you, buddy.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, speaking of Marcus Freeman, we'll get into some of the details of last night's game and win for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Question.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying in the chat, I'm too old to say it. It's not like Hacksaw saying Riz. Riz.
You're still on this?
Aura. You've got a problem. It's your Riz. It's your lack of aura.
You've got a problem.
You've got a problem.
You've got a problem.
You've got a problem. You've got no Riz. I don't think I'm too old to say Riz. I've got little kids.
Can say San Diego Padre fans. You've got a problem.
You've got a problem.
You got a problem.
You got a problem. Caitlin says I'm fine.
What's the cutoff then? I mean, next year when you're 50? 55?
I mean, I act like I'm 12. Leave me alone.
When's the Riz cutoff here?
Holds a state of mind. Right. Problem.
We'll talk college football in a moment. First, Woods.
What?
Underdog.
Underdog again. Very happy to be spreading the message of Underdog. If you're a California sports fan, Underdog is available to play right here in our state. The best place to cash in on all of your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going to go off? Which ones are ice cold? Didn't have a great night last night. I'm going to be honest with you, 100%. They're not all winners for you, but it sure is fun to play and kind of see where you're going. With their pick 'em game, you could win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats. You guys know how it works: the yards, the touchdowns, interceptions, and more. If you think if you think this weekend Josh Allen's going to rack up higher than 234 yards in the playoffs, yeah, just click higher. Cook up some entries for a shot to win real cash prizes all playoff longs. And you can do golf. I'm going to do a little golf one for today. It's really a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun playing with it. You should check it out, too. If you're interested, Underdog is the best place to play pick 'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Woods. Deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. Use the promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over. Present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Definitely an interesting and entertaining game last night. First college football playoff semifinal, the Capital One Orange Bowl. Defenses dominated in the first half. No scoring in the first quarter, but Penn State was running the ball.
Oh, were they ever.
Moving
man.
It on the ground with Nicholas Singleton.
So good.
And, actually multiple ball carriers. And they put together that 90-yard drive to finally, get the first touchdown of the game. They're up 10-0.
Yeah,
and
field goal first on a really, really poor throw from Drew Aller that hit his wide-open running back in the flat, hit him in the knee. I mean, he gets that ball up a foot. It's easy seven, man. Easy seven.
So. At that moment, there's 2:18 left in the first half. It's 10-0. I think a lot of people were thinking, and you might have even been one of them, this is not going to be Notre Dame's night.
I did. I thought, based on how well they were running the football against Notre Dame's defensive front, how out of sorts, actually, the Notre Dame defensive front looked, and just how gassed they were, it really started to – they had lost a couple guys early, too, and I was looking at that going, all right, well, here's where it comes into play, that they haven't had the time off to not – only prepare, but to recover. So this is going to be almost impossible. This is not going to be our night, man. We're getting worked in the trenches on both sides. We can't run the football and we can't stop the run. We're dead.
And then Riley Leonard, the Irish quarterback, gets hit and is staggering around, and you look like, uh-oh, he's going into the concussion tent. He may be out for the rest of the game.
Yeah, my dude got up and started walking toward the other sideline, and they had to grab him by the shoulder, turn him around, send him to the Notre Dame sideline. Looked a little glassy-eyed. I know Steve Angeli, though. I knew at that point this is going to be a different look for Penn State. And Steve Angeli came in, I think he hit 6 of 7, and started moving the football. And Penn State was like they never prepared for anybody to throw a football in their life. They were back on their heels. They had no idea how to scheme it. Angeli saved Notre Dame's season.
Yeah.
Saved it.
Led them to the field goal, which made it 10-3 at the half. But with Notre Dame getting the ball to start the half, they were back within a score, and they capitalized right away, going down the field. 71 yards, 10 plays for the – there or no, 75 yards, 8 plays for their first touchdown of the game.
My reaction when that happened – well, first you start the second half with a false start penalty, and you're like, oh, my God, you just came out of the locker room. It was loud, man. There was a lot of Penn State fans. Their pass rush, you guys, was incredible. Incredible. I give so much credit to them, man. Abdul Carter is an amazing player. They were a really, really formidable opponent, dude. Really, really good. And when they scored, though, I said, all right, this is the Irish that I've grown accustomed to seeing. They just don't quit. And there we go, man. And from there, it was.
All right. Well, it was for a while. They shut out Penn State in the third quarter.
Yep.
They scored, first minute of the fourth quarter to take their first lead at 17-10.
Yep.
And now it looks like Notre Dame has all the momentum and they are going to cruise. But it the game shifted again, and Penn State responded with back-to-back touchdowns, two seven-yard Nicholas Singleton touchdown runs. You had the turnover in between there that cost Notre Dame mightily, and all of a sudden they go from up 17-10 to down 24-17, and they're truly now facing the end of the season. You know, they're down seven. There's only about six minutes left in the game, and if they don't do something on that drive, likely it's going to be it. Yeah. Of course, they come through with, I mean, a bit of a fluky play. You know, the defensive back slips, falls down. Jaden Greathouse takes it 54 yards. I mean, he also made a great move to beat that last guy and make it ankle breaker. That was really cool. Tied it at 24. And that brings us here to the end game, which was very interesting. You know, Notre Dame gets a stop, gets the ball back. You think, oh, they're going to go down. But then Penn State stops them, and they punt it. And now Penn State has the ball, but there's, what, about a minute left in the game. And it's that whole, should we be aggressive, try to win it in regulation, or do we want to not make a mistake and potentially give Notre Dame a chance to win it in regulation? And that's when Drew Aller, I would say, made the mistake of the college football season with the throw.
Back across his body in the middle of the field.
Yeah. Falling backwards.
Yeah. Just a dumb throw, man. And Jeremiah, you know,
Christian Gray.
Yeah. It was a phenomenal catch. And immediately I thought, they're going to take this away from the Irish. It would be the third interception they'd taken away from Notre Dame last night. I was waiting for, I could not look at the TV for the replay because I was sure that it had hit the ground. And luckily it didn't. He made the play of the game, and the Irish get the ball back, march down the field and kick the field goal. Mitch Jeter, by the way, you could not have found a much more maligned college kicker than Mitch Jeter 6 weeks ago. Couldn't make a
South
field goal.
South Carolina transfer, yeah, right? Yeah.
Could not make a field goal. Was just, they're like, they were people screaming online, you've got to get open tryouts going, coach. Anybody from the soccer team, anybody, can the Australian punter kick field goals? Anybody but Mitch Jeter. For him to come in last night, get that field goal before the half to kick the game winner. I mean, I cried. The shot of his dad, Daniel Jeremiah sent the tweet of the night last night. The shot of his dad, not just watching the game, biting his nails, holding up his iPhone, recording that moment. And then he nails it. He turns immediately around, hugs all the guys. But Daniel Jeremiah is like, that's a bold move by a dad to film the game winner, because most dads know about deleting things off of their phone, videos from sporting events. I died, man. It was.
I saw that too. Now, if I was the dad, I mean, do you really need your own copy of it? You clearly there's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of television cameras at this game. This isn't.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to.
This
get
isn't
it
a pop. This isn't a Pop Warner game, and you're the only one recording it. There is every angle, slow-mo replays. You're going to have this moment documented from a much better camera with a much better zoom capability.
Such a dad move, man.
How about just enjoy the moment? Like, just be in the moment and not recording it on your phone.
Dadding never stops. It never stops. Once you're a dad, you're always a dad. And so it's the ultimate dad move of just standing there.
Gotta get this in case they
knowing,
in case every other camera that ESPN sent to this game doesn't happen to get this one. I want to make sure I've got it.
Knowing full well it was probably off center, out of frame.
Exactly.
His thumb was in front of it because he is a dad. Right. What a moment, dude. When he kicked it, we all thought it was gonna go hook right.
It was hooking,
and it did the double. It like the whoop whoop and went right down the middle.
Here's what it sounded like on the Notre Dame radio network.
Good snap, good hold, kick on its way, and the kick is good!
Yes!
Mitch Jeter, with 7 seconds left, gives the Irish a lead, 27-24.
Yes!
Yes!
In the background. I was in the beyond torture chamber. Both kids had been down asleep. Hannah was asleep in Bo's bedroom. She passed out, you know, rubbing his back, putting him to bed. I mean, every expletive came out of my mouth. I was yelling into a pillow again, pounding my chest and tears coming out of my eyes. Oh, man, that was such a cool moment. Just such a cool moment as a fan my whole life to see that. I just did not. I I just didn't think it was possible.
For at least a minute or two there, it looked like we were heading toward another overtime, like we had in the Arizona State game. That was pretty amazing. The best game of the playoffs so far. And I was wondering, because I've seen some people bring this up, should college football have a different overtime system for the playoff games? Maybe more like the NFL does, as opposed to the 25-yard line back and forth.
And then your turn.
You go to third overtime, it's just the two-point conversion. Back and forth, back and forth. You know, we had that game, what was it? Was it Ohio State earlier this year? We went eight overtimes?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you really want to decide a game to get to or win a national.
Was it Georgia?
Georgia. It was Adams, Georgia Bulldogs.
Against
eight
Georgia
overtimes.
Tech. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that the way you... I mean, that's the way they've decided they want to play overtimes.
I don't like just reducing it to a two-point conversion, really.
I don't like changing things just for the playoffs, though, either.
But they do in the NFL. You know, in the NFL, if you go to the playoffs, it's there's no tie, so they go to a 15-minute overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have to either score a touchdown to win, or if you kick a field goal, then the other team gets the ball.
There's no ties in college football, either.
Well, there isn't, but, you know, you're not playing football anymore in college. You're just playing red zone. Just two-point conversions.
Yes.
Don't most people want the NFL, like... Everybody says the NFL should do it more like how college does
it. Yeah, that's true.
So now we're saying college needs to do it more like the NFL does.
Ben's saying just only in the playoffs, but I don't know. I mean, let's...
Well, like in golf, they used to at the U.S. Open, you know, instead of a sudden death playoff, they'd have to play 18 holes the next day.
18 more holes!
Is that... It was bad for TV, but it was certainly the most legitimate way. Like, okay, we're not...
But it would be weird in golf if they said, all right, everyone drop your ball at 100 yards out and let's go.
Yeah, like, that's closest to the pin.
Let's do a putting contest, you know? Like, I don't know, man. I just,
the NFL has, I think, the worst overtime policy in sports. The winning a coin toss and potentially... scoring a touchdown, it's always been bad.
It does... teach you to try to win the game in regulation. You don't want it left to that. And I'm so glad that obviously getting that pick and having 33 seconds or whatever to go down and get in the field goal range was epic. And they always say this. They say this at every halftime in every halftime show. Well, the team that can make adjustments is going to win in the second half. It's the most tired trope in sports. However, you saw it. You saw whatever Marcus Freeman said and whatever Al Golden said to his defense and Den Brock said to his offense, they adjusted. The lines adjusted. You had seven guys out. You had guys hurt, banged up, guys stepping in. I've never been more inspired watching a football game in my whole life than I was last night. Last night was the most resilient, most inspirational team I have ever watched in my whole life. They just didn't quit, and it didn't matter. Guy went down, next guy up. I mean, you're talking about guys on the line, guys that have to block Abdul Carter. I mean, it was incredible, and they just didn't quit. And it gives me a lot of hope for whoever the next opponent is. I think, you know, both of the next opponents are very, very nasty. But, hey, man, as last night showed, as it showed against Georgia, this team does not quit. You feel like they're going to be in it. And it was so inspiring to watch, man. It really was.
Who will be that next opponent? We'll take a look ahead to tonight's second semifinal, the Cotton Bowl Classic, right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Right, tonight from Jerry World, AT&T Stadium in Dallas, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. Ohio State taking on Texas.
Ooh,
the winner
boy.
Advancing to face Notre Dame in the College Football Playoff Championship game.
Say it again.
A week from Monday. Facing Notre Dame in the College Football Playoff Championship game
in
a week from Monday.
Yes. I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. Music to my ears.
So Texas, of course, got here with their 39-31 double overtime win against Arizona State. If they had not converted that fourth down
13,
and long
yeah.
touchdown in overtime to keep the game going, they would not be here at all. But they got the win. They have the opportunity, and they will have probably the best home field advantage that you've seen. You know, obviously, it's not Austin, but it's Dallas. It's not far away. It's going to be a very pro-Texas crowd, even though Ohio State's technically the better seed.
No,
Texas is
Texas
the better
is.
Seed, so they're the better seed. They'll have a home crowd. Yet Ohio State is favored to win the game based on their performance the last 2 weeks of the college football playoff, including their rout of Oregon, the number one team in the country, where they jumped out to a 34-0 lead and avenged their only loss of the season, which came in Eugene way back in September.
Ohio State opened as a 5-point favorite.
They also lost to Michigan as well.
Yes. Now they are a 6-point favorite, but the matchup predictor on ESPN has got 49.5 for Ohio State and 50.5 for the University of Texas. There is weather in Dallas right now. I was just texting with a buddy. Sent me a picture of his backyard. It's snowy. The roads are toast.
It's indoors, right? It's all indoors.
Cotton Bowl is...
The game's at AT&T Stadium.
It's not at the Cotton Bowl.
They call it the Cotton Bowl. They don't play the Cotton Bowl anymore.
But the weather, the roads...
Getting there, yeah.
...is going to be tough. And so you're talking about, you know, travel, and Austin's about 3 hours from Dallas on a good day where there's no traffic, et cetera. I don't know what this is going to look like tonight. I really, really don't. They're incompetent in getting the ice off the roads. They're incompetent at driving on the roads. Every year they have this Icemageddon. I've lived it 100 times. It's just, I don't know what is going to happen getting out to Arlington for that game.
I would say, I don't think of, obviously, Texas is a huge, like, snow country. I know you get it occasionally. But can you imagine if, like, all of a sudden one day here we had snow and ice?
How
completely incompetent we would be if that happened.
They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the salt trucks.
When it rains.
It's tough enough when it rains here. But I'm looking forward to tonight's game. Will Howard is great. I mean, he's a great player. Quinn Ewers has the capability of having having a really good game as well. I don't know. I don't know which way this goes.
My gut tells me to roll Ohio State wins.
Yeah.
Do they cover?
I think they do. They look so good. As a Notre Dame fan, I just need these two teams to beat the ever-loving hell out of each other. I need them to just beat each other down.
Seven overtimes.
I need it as hard and fast as you can go. I'm rooting for Texas. I'm rooting for Texas, but I think Ohio State wins.
Would it be fair to say, had the Michigan game not happened, that we would all be going, Ohio State is just... I mean, they're just too good. They're just a juggernaut. Yeah. Their only loss would have been on the road by a point early in the season against Oregon, which they would have avenged mightily. If you can just erase that game, I think everyone would think that this is not even a close matchup. It's that Michigan game that leaves everybody wondering, well, could that happen again to Ohio State? Because if it did, well, then they could lose to just about anybody.
Because, I mean, what was the spread? 22 points or something? It just, anybody is capable of having a bad day. As you saw last night, these are kids. They are kids, straight up. You know, there's guys that separate themselves, certainly, but these are kids out there, man, and you could see last night, like, you see the nerves, you see the high throws, you see the spiked throws, you see the wobbly throws from Aller last night. Like, that's all nerves, man. Those guys have been doing this their whole lives, but at the end of the day, they're just kids. And I think anything can happen. Like I said, I'm rooting for Texas, but I think Ohio State wins.
I mean, in their last six games, they have 5 blowout wins, including beating number 5 Indiana, number 1 Oregon, number 9 Tennessee. They absolutely routed, obviously, Purdue and Northwestern. And they have that 3-point loss to Michigan. It just doesn't fit with the rest of their season. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yep.
But other than that,
it's a rivalry game. They get up for that one. You know, Michigan does, certainly. They weren't playing for anything but pride at that point. But, man, I'll tell you, this has just been what a ride. What a ride this has been. I just can't believe it. We'll be in Arizona for the championship game, right?
Yeah, we'll be there for fantasy camp, first night of fantasy camp.
What if they'll show it at explicit?
And, you know, Texas hasn't lost to anybody but Georgia all year long either. Yep. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fun one tonight, to be sure, but I've got to lean toward Ohio State in this game, for sure.
I think I do, too. My rooting interest is for Texas for a lot of my friends, but the Jason Day, Lou Holtz collision course is a pretty interesting storyline, though, don't you think? Remember that? Where's Lou Holtz now? Remember when he got all pissy earlier in the year? But Ohio State Notre Dame would be a good matchup. So with Texas Notre Dame, it's going to be nuts.
All right, we'll come back. We still have Take on Woods in our 8 o'clock hour. We can talk about a big weekend of NFL playoff games. Of course, our mesh shirt bet is on the line for everything coming up. It's Ben and Woods. Don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.